Dallas News today.
Do people know that there are people like us out there? Do they know? Because you go around X and you just think nobody's got any idea what's going on. Everybody's learning this all of a sudden. Nobody knew that there was an elite pedophile ring that was operated out of Israel and that Jeffrey Epstein was a part of. Like, nobody knew this stuff. Everybody's just figuring this out. And it's like, where have you been the last 5 years I've been talking about it? We have been ahead of the curve on everything. We still are years ahead of the curve on everything else. The information war is accelerating, so if there was any justice in this world, we'd be multi-billionaires, right? But apparently it doesn't matter if you're right, doesn't matter if you're proven right over and over, doesn't matter if you're taking on the biggest, most powerful forces that the society's ever seen and winning. Our society is set up by the evil forces, and we are constantly at a disadvantage. We're constantly trying to fight against impossible odds, but do it with one hand tied behind our back. And all that we ask is that you support us. All that we ask is that you go to thealexjonesstore.com and you get yourself a fantastic product. You don't even have to sacrifice. There's no sacrifice required here. We are going to win. We are continuing to win. We are continuing to set the standard when it comes to this type of coverage. We are continuing to tell the truth in a way and to a degree and at a volume. Nobody else can tell the truth. Nobody else matches us. Nobody else reaches the amount and the quality of people that we reach. We'll continue to do it. But if you support us, if you contribute to this mission, again, it's not even a sacrifice. We're not even asking you to give us anything. We're literally asking you to buy a great product that's like at a lower price. You can get it at the store. Like, it's so easy. It's so easy to support us. It's like ridiculous, which again is another thing that sets us apart. What we sell you is tangible, is physical. You can actually feel the effects, and the products that we offer are just best-selling products that sell out at your local grocery. Only we have the better quality at lower prices. You're going to get it anyway. So again, thealexjonesstore.com.
Israel's the prime suspect in killing Kirk. I first broke that cabinet meeting with Joe Kent, Tulsi Gabbard, the vice president, the president, and others when they ordered a cover-up and screamed at Tulsi Gabbard. The president agreed not to investigate foreign involvement. And we said, obviously a 30-odd six goes right to the neck at 150 yards. And if they can't match the bullet, there's a cover-up. And the media spun this everywhere that the defense claims it. No, the ATF says it's not a 30-odd-6 bullet. So I am disgusted by this. I am horrified by this. And I'm going to try to shut up as much as I can with Nate Cronacchio, who was on with us yesterday, and Gary Melton has been on before, and I'll have them back up soon, maybe this weekend or it's Easter, but or next week, a two-hour show on this, because this is a big deal. Okay, we have a cover-up. We have a cover-up of foreign involvement. You got disinformation agents spewing all sorts of stuff about Egyptian planes and Fort Huachuca. We now know, in my gut, it's never wrong to cover up the real evidence. Okay, but we know he wasn't shot with a 30-odd-6. We knew it when we saw it. But now, to the credit of the ATF, they say it's not a 30-odd-6 bullet. What is it? What is it? So Gary Melton, Paramount Tactical, Green Beret, huge record. I'm not going to get into it all the combat tours, Nate Cronacchio, all his tours, all the rest of it, Valhalla, VFT, Paramount Tactical on X, all of it. We'll put that on screen. But I just want to, since we already had Nate on yesterday, I'm going to go to Gary Melton first just to give us his analysis for about 5 minutes. Then I'm going to go to Nate Cronacchio to see if they agree with me and where we go from here, because this is revolutionary stuff. We have the Israelis openly saying the head of the ADL used pagers on Americans, the same tactics. We have open threats going on. I'm getting threatened. I'm not on the Israel beat, folks, but this is a power vacuum. They're trying to come into it. They're trying to get us into a ground war. Trump's now indicating he's not going to do that. That's good. This is insane. So, Gary Melton, give us your analysis of this. former Green Carnacchio with his take as this moves so quickly. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, no, thanks for having me, Alex. And Nate, how you doing, buddy? Yeah, so there's a lot of things that you said there that I definitely agree with you. And then there's some things that I'm going to push back on a little bit. And the first thing is, I think that this Daily Mail headline is one of the biggest pieces of, I don't know, it's just malfeasance on its own. So, you know, basically what we have is we have a headline, and then we actually have what the article says, and then we have what the analysis actually states. And so what the Daily Mail headline says is that the bullet used to kill Charlie Kirk did not match the rifle allegedly used by the suspect. Then the first paragraph says, this may not match. And then we actually look at the ATF analysis, and what it says is actually it's inconclusive. The other part of this that nobody's talking about is we have a Fox News article right here. And this came out yesterday basically in response to the Daily Mail. And look, I think hopefully we agree, or to some extent, like the Daily Mail is a UK trash rag, in my opinion. And I think they're reporting on this and the inaccuracies behind it. And the clickbait headline, I think, really covers that. But the Fox News article says the defense has been provided with an ATF summary report, which indicates the ATF was unable to identify the bullet recovered at the autopsy to the rifle allegedly. The other thing that it says right here is that that's not being covered. The testing did positively confirm that the spent shell casing found at the scene matched the suspected murder weapon. So, you know, that's kind of where that's at. And you know, that's where we're at with this. So I don't think that nothing has changed, in my opinion. Me and Nate knew back, going all the way back to September, that we had a fragmented round. That was being reported. Candace Owens reported it two times, one on September 25th and another time in December, right after she talked to Erica Kirk. So, look, my take on this is we can talk about additional involvement, and I'm open to that. And that's one of the things that I have said at the beginning of this, that I do not think that Tyler Robinson acted alone. I do think that there's more people involved. And even looking at the social media posts that predicted this, I think there's more people involved. And it could absolutely have foreign ties into it. But what I'm not seeing is evidence that says that Tyler didn't do it. That's where I'm at with that.
Sure, well, here's where I'm at. The trannies say they're going to kill him, 10 of them two days before, six the day before, he's dead tomorrow. Obviously, I talked to Team USA. They said no. Cash said, well, we can't convict them. They may have been involved. We're not doing it. We know he ordered the stand down. My point is that that's not a 30-odd six and 100-something yards shooting in the neck. I mean, come on, people. And so that's what adds credibility. The ATF saying, you know, inconclusive, doesn't look at the same bullet. I get what you're saying. The Daily Mail is probably basically an MI6 cutout. But let's get Carnacchio's take on this. Nate Carnacchio, what are you thinking right now?
Yeah, I mean, I think me and Gary really haven't been that far off from the very beginning. We did content the first week together. I think Gary will say himself the idea of a 30-06 not creating an exit wound is extremely, extremely, extremely unlikely. We differ on some things, but let's debunk the idea that that this new report doesn't mean anything, just from a court of law standpoint, okay? Because what you're seeing people try to say is, oh, well, they can't conclusively match the round. That doesn't actually mean the round's not matched. Okay, well, we're talking about evidence in a court of law. And when you're talking about the word conclusive, it means something in a court of law. It means you have to conclusively match, let's say, a bullet to a gun, DNA to a rifle. Otherwise, that evidence is not going to be permissible in a court of law for the prosecution, so much so that the defense is already adding this in as exculpatory evidence. If you don't know what that means it's going to change the rifle from being evidence for the prosecution to use to find Tyler Robinson guilty to the rifle being used as evidence to prove he is not guilty. If that happens and the judge permits that.
And your Zoom just cut out. We'll go back to you as soon as you're, let's reconnect with Nate Carnacchio. While he's reconnecting, counter that or respond to that, Gary.
Yeah, I mean, I don't doubt that it's going to be issued as and submitted as exculpatory evidence. I just, it's still going to be challenged by, like, we have so much circumstantial evidence. We have DNA evidence on the firearm, DNA evidence on the spent cartridge. We have DNA evidence on the screwdriver. We have, I mean, we got a lot of evidence. We have him admitting to it.
But what about a 30-06 not shooting through somebody's neck?
Yeah, look, what I've always said on this is that it's atypical. Can it absolutely happen? Yes, it can, especially once we get into some of the internal, external, and terminal ballistics of this. One of the things, what I will say is that we can't rule it out. And we have lots of examples of this, whether we're looking at, look, Martin Luther King was shot with a 30-06 at 65 yards. Now, I know there's a lot of controversy around Martin Luther King, but what I've never seen challenged was whether or not it was a 30-06. So he was shot at 65 yards, it hit him in the jaw, and actually hit his spine and then deflected downward. We also have somebody that both Nate and I know, Chuck Ritter. He was shot with 7.62 by 54 at 25 yards. It actually hit him in the spine, deflected downward. Not only did it not exit, he didn't die, and he stayed in the fight. So, you know, the fact is there's lots of different variables. And one of the posts that I put up on X and just pinned it, because I don't think we can exclude 30-06 completely. And the other thing that I've done since this, my stance on this has evolved, because one of the things that I do, look, we teach long range for a living. We have our own line of long range guns, been doing this for over 20 years. One of the things that ballistic experts don't do is that we don't spend a lot of time looking at terminal ballistic reports. We don't look at some of these different pathology reports, definitely specific to 30-06. Once you start going down that road, you see that this is less atypical than people think. And then here's just some ballistic facts that I want to share with, and everybody can go check this out. I got this tweet pinned on my X account. 30-06 ballistic facts. You cannot determine or predict any terminal ballistic outcome without knowing the following variables. Ammunition source, factory or hand loads. Ammunition type, low recoil, varmint, big game, or dozens of other commercial options. Ammunition condition, old, new, exposed to elements or moisture. Projectile weight, 30-06 is available from 55 grain to 200
grain. Sure, it can be subsonic, any of that. And Nate Kornheiser cut off, so I'm going to come back to you on that.
Sorry.
Just real quick, here's my bottom line. I'm going to go to Nate Kornheiser. I broke it. It's confirmed now. They ordered no looking at accomplices, domestic or foreign. Now you got the ATF saying this is an inconclusive thing. Okay, nine times out of ten, it goes through the neck. All I'm saying is this smells to hell. Go ahead, Nate, respond to what you just heard.
Sorry, my computer crashed a couple times, guys. Not sure.
It's okay, go ahead.
Anyway, let me go back to what I was saying about the conclusive evidence and why this is a big deal. It is a big deal in a court of law, because now, as I don't know where I got cut off. But if you cannot conclusively match the rifle to the gun or DNA to whatever evidence, it's no longer going to be permissible evidence for the prosecution in the court of law. And we're already seeing that with the defense that wants to now change it to exculpatory evidence, which will actually make the rifle being used as evidence to exonerate Tyler Kirk. Now, if they can actually do that, they may get the trial thrown out beforehand. We don't know about that for sure. But also, the reason why this is so important is not just that, but it's also people are completely forgetting that the murder weapon was not found at the scene of the crime. The murder weapon has to be tracked back to Tyler Robinson. It was found 300-400 meters away on someone else's private property, which means you have to be able to tie that rifle back to the actual shot. You can do that through two ways. You can do it through ballistically matching the round to the rifle used, or the DNA on the rifle matching to Tyler Robinson. Okay, well, there is DNA of Tyler Robinson on the rifle. What's the other problem? There's six other people's fingerprints and DNA on that rifle, which is going to make that also not conclusive, because how do you prove Tyler was one of the seven people here whose fingerprints actually took the shot on that rifle? Can you prove that? Maybe you can prove that through, I don't know, video evidence, maybe that we haven't seen yet. But at the moment, the way it's looking is that the rifle could be completely thrown out as evidence in this trial completely. Because if you can't attach, again, the word conclusive means something in a court of law. Very specific. Evidence is not working. Maybe, maybe not. Maybe it matches. Maybe it doesn't. No, that's not how it works. You don't get to use that as permissible evidence against Tyler Robinson in that case. So
what is your interpretation of the ATF report? What is your interpretation of the ATF report versus Gary Melton's?
Well, I didn't get to hear what Gary said about it, but what I think is what they're saying is that there's fragmentation of the round, which I think me and Gary had talked about months and months ago. Sorry, Gary, I didn't get to see your what you were talking about. There's fragmentation of the round inside Charlie's neck, which I think we all thought, and that cannot be matched to the 30-06. That doesn't necessarily mean that that's not a 30-06 bullet. It means we can't match that fragment to that gun, which, again, in the court of law, that is going to be a big deal. But my thing is this. Now we just have a fragment, but we also had TPUSA's story, Andrew Colvett, who came out and said himself, told Stephen Gardner, who was on my channel, Officer Tatum, all these people, that what happened? Charlie Kirk was shot in the T1. That bullet traveled down his neck about 6 inches, and the entire bullet lodged in his, shot in the C1, traveled down, lodged in the T1 just below his, or just above his shoulder blade area. And so is there not a full round inside his body?
Well, I'm going to say this. One hour after that came out, I reported on that, and I had Colvett call me and say, no, I talked to the coroner. It actually went down the spine, all that stuff. I said, okay, good, I'll put that out. I'm not saying, I don't think they're involved. I'm not accusing him of anything. But I mean, that's exactly where we are, is that the story just kept changing.
So let me finish my point here, Alex. My point with this is, okay, if we're going with what the ATF says as truth, which I guess we will, we have to at the moment, and there was just a small fragment that they could pick out of that 30-06 round that they couldn't match to that bullet. So you're telling me that a 30-06 round went in, hit the soft tissue of Charlie's neck, and evaporated into basically dust, like a frangible round would. We'll talk more about that in a second. And just a tiny little fragment is all that's left, also creating no exit wound from a 30-06 from 140 meters. I mean, I know Gary will even have to admit that that's very, very, very unlikely to happen. And even with frangible rounds, I did see you mention frangible rounds, accelerator rounds, varmint rounds. We've tested them all ballistically. Between me, Dan from Heavy Duty Country, Jesse on Fire, we've tested 30-06 frangible rounds. We've tested low-grain varmint rounds. We've tested every round that can come out of the 30-06. Every single one, including the frangible, including the varmint rounds, blows straight through things way stronger than human neck. So what I would encourage, and I'm still waiting for this, we've done our due diligence on this. We've done the ballistic testings on every type of 30-06 round that exists. We can't get a single one to not blow through straight anything way stronger than a human neck. So I would like to see someone come out and recreate the FBI narrative shot. Show me a 30-06, shoot it from 140 meters, and show me no exit wound in a ballistic dummy, and have that round lodged.
Well, let me ask this question and have Gary Melton respond, because we're trying to figure out the truth here. I think you both have credibility. What I'm asking here is about the ATF report. What is Nate Kornacki saying that ATF report says versus what Gary Melton is saying? Because Gary, you're kind of saying, they're saying it's inconclusive.
Yeah, look, they're going to throw out that element of the testing. That's what they're going to use as exculpatory evidence. They can't just throw out the rifle. They can't say, hey, we can't use this. That's not how the court of law works. They're still going to be able to submit the fact that, hey, you know what? The brass actually did match exactly to the rifle itself. They're going to have the DNA on the gun, on this spent cartridge, which I think is really important with this. And then, of course, you have, I mean, the strongest element of this is the parents and their testimony and what they have stated in the charging documents. And then we already know that the prosecutor is going to be calling both parents up to the stand and Lance Twiggs himself. So we know they're actually testifying for the prosecution. And if they get up there, and I know this has been alleged, like, oh, this is all fed slop. And I do think it's a little odd that people want to say, oh, this is all made up evidence and it's fed slop. But when you have the exact same federal agencies or the exact same departments come out and give exculpatory evidence, now we believe it. But at the end of the day, like, the parents are going to get up there and they're not going to be called to the stand if they're not going to confirm every single thing.
Sure, but let me just add this right now. You have Jolly and West with Jack Ruby killing the Patsy, Lee Harvey Oswald. You have him with Sirhan. You have him with McVeigh, all of it. You look at Tyler Robinson. Let's put him up in court. He looks like a mind-controlled zombie. So just because you got somebody saying they did it, they can get me with electroshock therapy for a month, and I'll say I'm the Easter Bunny. So my point is, when we have the FBI confirmed ordering, don't look at foreign involvement or accomplices, then you add the ATF saying inconclusive. To me, this is major red flags. Do you agree, Gary, these are major red flags here?
Yeah, if that's exactly what happened, then there is red flags. And that's one of the things that I've said from the very beginning of this, going back to all the trans shootings that we've seen. We have a hugely disproportionate amount of trans shooters that are doing, you know, school shootings, mass shootings, compared to what's going on.
No, I agree. There's definitely a trans terrorist issue.
And so one of the things that I tracked down, I actually interviewed Chase Hughes, and that was what I asked him about. I said, Chase, look, we have something going on here that doesn't make sense, you know, from a mind control, being able to target people online, psychologically profile people online, and then realize what's going on. Is there something that makes trans people or people like Tyler Robinson that has clearly identified himself as some sort of trans hero or protector that would identify them as, you know, a lot more suggestible? And he said, absolutely. He's like, the moment that you're...
Yeah, there's no doubt they're in mind control, Cole. Let's get into that. Let's go to break. There's fair time here. Nate Kornacki, counter that with 2 minutes before we get a break.
Well, I'm not going to counter that.
That's I don't say counter your response to that.
Yeah, that's one of the things me and Gary have agreed on the entire since day one. We both believe there's some type of external involvement. We both believe Tyler Robinson, I believe Lance Twiggs also is involved. I've said that from day one. I just do not believe the 30-06 narrative. I just refuse to do it because one through, you know, just statistical probabilities of this being reality, just basic, you know, rationale tells me that doesn't make sense. It's way too bizarre. It's the odds of it are so low. And then now when we add in things like, okay, well, ballistically, we can't conclusively match the round to the rifle, it makes me even more skeptical. Because again, it's already so, so unlikely that this is the rifle used, and that's the wound that we saw. And so for me, I've never really been able to point my finger and say, who's responsible for this? Is it a trans shooter? Is it our greatest ally? Is it the federal government, the FBI? I don't know. Is it China? Is it Russia? Is it Iran? I don't know, but I 100% believe there was high-level professional involvement that either facilitated some MK Ultra-style thing with Tyler Robinson and Lance Twiggs to get them involved, or high-level professional that maybe is a second shooter. I don't know, but I do believe Tyler Robinson, and people can kind of get upset about that, but I believe Tyler Robinson and Lance Twiggs both were involved. I just don't believe the FBI narrative for how it was carried out. And that's I've had that stance since day one.
All right, let's come back then and talk about where this goes now, because you have the former head of the National Counterterrorism Center, Joe Kent, saying he's ready to testify that there was a cover-up. How does that affect us, and where does this go? Because I'll tell you, I don't know Israel did it. You see all this lining up. That's why I'm saying we have to look at that. And I was a guy day one saying, don't say that without evidence. We'll be right back. Stay with us, ladies and gentlemen.
I was hoping you had some of the Alex Jones ones. How is Alex?
He's great. He lost a lot of weight.
I saw he's getting like, yeah, he's ready for the next
My friend
big...
Sean Johnson's training him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he gets up every morning. He works out for hours. He's lost, I think he's lost 70 pounds at this point. He looks fantastic, man.
Yeah.
He looks fantastic. He looks like he's 20 years younger. People think, this is really funny because, you know, his whole business is conspiracy theories. Conspiracy that Alex has been replaced.
Yeah.
But listen, folks, that's real Alex. I've watched every step of the way, and my friend trains him. So I can tell you for a fact, that is the real Alex Jones. Quit drinking, quit eating bad food. He's eating healthy food now. He works out every day. It's like no Ozempic, no bullshit, no shortcuts. He did it the right way. He looks great.
You find it all at thealexjonesstore.com, and it funds the most hardcore patriot organization worldwide, absolutely devastating the globalists in our peaceful information war.
Holy shit, he was right about every step of the way.